Welcome to episode 6 of the Family Medicine Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Cody Mitchell-Tree. On this edition, we have a California legislative update from Adam Francis and Ashby Wolf, as well as an interview with the October Member of the Month, Dr. Stephen Lin.
Hi, this is Adam Francis with the California Academy of Family Physicians. I am the Deputy Director of Government Relations, and I'm here with Ashby Wolf. She is the chair of CFP's Legislative Affairs Committee, and we're here to talk a little bit about what's going on in the advocacy and legislative world. It's election season, with the November 2014 election about 1 month away. The governor has also just recently signed and vetoed legislation that has reached his desk, and we're coming to the end of the legislative session. So Ashby, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of the important issues that CFP has been advocating on, and wondering if you could talk a little bit about some of the successes and wins that CFP has had this year in the legislative session.
Thanks, Adam. This year has been quite a successful year for CAFP. One of our priorities, our main priority, was graduate medical education funding. And CAFP worked very hard to ensure that the state addressed the primary care physician shortage this budget cycle. Because of our work, the 2014-2015 state budget actually contains more than $12 million in new workforce training program funding, which includes a one-time $4 million investment specifically earmarked to support new primary care physician residency slots, and with priority given to those physicians who have graduated from California medical schools. In addition, there's another approximately $3 million annually for the next 3 years to augment funding for primary care specialties.
I don't know if anyone has been following this, but hopefully they have. 2014 has been a big year for medicine in general because of implementation of the Affordable Care Act. It's also been a time where family physicians have really shown themselves to be very important providers for patients. Has CFP been doing anything on that front?
Absolutely. We have been working hard to get recognition for the family physicians as the primary care specialists. And actually, we had a resolution this year, Resolution 107, authored by Bloom, to declare 2014 the year of the family physician, in recognition of the critically important role that family physicians play for patients and communities during the implementation of the Affordable Care Act.
So another big concern has been there's been a major shift in moving Medi-Cal patients into managed care. This has included dual eligibles, seniors and persons with disability. They also completely shifted all healthy families' children into Medi-Cal managed care. I know this has been a hot topic issue. What has CFP been doing about it?
Actually, we've been advocating quite aggressively for improved oversight and additional assistance for those patients, children and adults, who are moving into Medi-Cal managed care. There are actually three bills that the governor signed, which CAFP was in strong support of. That includes AB 357, AB 505, and SB 964. What AB 357, authored by Dr. Pan, will do is it actually creates an advisory panel which will provide oversight for children's health within the Department of the Health Care Services. And this will hopefully ensure that children are effectively represented as they move from healthy families into Medi-Cal managed care. Assembly Bill 505 also requires managed care Medi-Cal programs to provide language assistance to those patients who have limited English proficiency. And finally, Senate Bill 964 increases oversight of those health plans who are involved in managed care in order to ensure that there's timely access and network adequacy.
So that's the legislative side of things. Now on to the electoral side. I'm sure many physicians are aware of, and if they're not aware of, they need to be aware of Prop 46. This is an issue that's cropped up many times in the past, not necessarily in initiative form, but in legislative form. Attacks on MICRA, California's Medical Injury Compensation Reform Act. Since 1975, MICRA has done an amazing job of keeping access to physicians available by limiting the amount of Medi-Cal malpractice lawsuits and non-economic damages have been capped. This has proved to be a great law that's been in place for a while, and now the trial attorneys are trying to attack it once again, but this time through an initiative process. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. What you're talking about is Proposition 46, which is has been authored by the trial lawyers to support changing the current cap in MICRA for non-economic damages. The current cap is $250,000, and what the proposition would do, it would increase that cap to nearly $1.1 million. There are a number of other aspects to this proposition, but the main goal, there's no doubt that the main goal is to increase non-economic damages and therefore payments to trial lawyers who are bringing these suits to court. There are a few other aspects of the proposition, and one of the main ones that we're concerned about is the aspect that would require physicians to use cures. Currently, cures is pretty limited in its functionality. Now, we very much support cures. We want to be able to use the system, and we want to be able to use it safely to monitor the prescriptions that we're giving patients. But what the Proposition 46 would do would be to require all physicians who are prescribing narcotics to check the cures database prior to prescribing the medicine.
And even last year, I believe, CFP supported legislation that created a fee on physicians, other providers, and pharmaceutical companies in order to support cures, because family physicians have told us it's a very valuable system, very valuable database, but the problem is it's completely underfunded and totally incapable of handling large volumes. And if Prop 46 passes, the day after the election, every physician would be required to not only be able to log into the website, which they're having trouble doing now with even less hits on it, but they would have to input and use information from the database before they could even prescribe controlled substances and other medications to their patients.
That's right. And so it would essentially force physicians to either not check the database and break the law or prescribe the medicine without checking the database if the database is down. So Cures is a great program. We want to see it working well, but it's unable to handle the potential volume that would occur the day after the election if Prop 46 were to pass.
So we really would encourage all family physicians, all physicians, your family, everyone, to register to vote and vote no on Prop 46. This is Adam Francis and Ashby Wolf. If you're looking for more information on CFP's advocacy, please go to our website, www.familydocs.org, and click on the Advocacy tab. Thank you so much.
So we're joined now by Dr. Stephen Lin, our October Member of the Month. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Cody. Thank you.
So first off, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into family medicine.
I'm currently a clinical instructor of medicine and family medicine at Stanford School of Medicine. And I became really interested in family medicine, really in medical school. Stanford's one of these academic medical centers that doesn't have a department of family medicine and has a very small primary care presence on campus. I was really inspired by the few people who were really pushing hard for primary care at Stanford, and those people became my mentors and guided me towards choosing family medicine as a career. And so when I graduated, I matched in family medicine at San Jose O'Connor Family Medicine residency program. And after my training, decided to come back to Stanford to try to change the culture at my alma mater.
Great. And what's your favorite aspect of family medicine?
My favorite aspect is the fact that we get to do everything as family physicians, and we often get to care for members of the same family and get to see our patients grow older, transform, change, have families of their own. And I think that's a very unique aspect of and privilege of family medicine that no other specialty shares. So that's definitely my favorite. I also really enjoy the depth and breadth of medicine that we practice and how much we have to know. I find that very challenging and stimulating at the same time.
Absolutely, well put. I understand that you've been heavily involved in mobile app development. So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about some of the apps and what current project you're working on.
Sure. So I got involved in smartphone mobile app development basically when I was an intern in my family medicine residency program. I realized how much I didn't know about so many different things and how poorly some of those topics were taught in medical school. So, for example, I knew almost nothing about how to provide prenatal care for pregnant women, which wasn't taught in my medical school. And I knew very little about how to treat depression in the primary care setting because I was also basically not taught in the curriculum. And so I decided to basically do it myself and do the research and come up with these evidence-based tools that will allow primary care physicians on the front lines to access up-to-date information to help with clinical decision-making at the point of care. So the first app that I created was a evidence-based prenatal care app that allowed family medicine residents and attending physicians to access the most up-to-date evidence on how to provide good prenatal care that's based on the latest evidence. And so you could basically put in the gestational age of the pregnancy and come up with a list of things that you need to do at that visit, whether it be questions to ask, counseling topics to deliver, or tests to perform. And so that helped me not only to review and gain the knowledge that I wanted and needed to practice in my residency clinic and caring for prenatal care, but also allowed my peers and other people in now other residency programs to access the same information. Towards the end of my residency, I also became very interested in how do you choose the best antidepressant for patients with depression in the primary care setting. It's a big problem. We don't have enough psychiatrists and psychotherapists out there, and so really the brunt of mental health care falls on first-line providers like family physicians. And so I did a literature review, published a couple of papers, and decided to put all of that information into a smartphone app as well that allows providers at the point of care to choose the best antidepressant based on patients presenting symptoms, comorbidities, and rank drugs based on their efficacy, acceptability, and also cost.
Great. Are these apps free on the app stores?
Yes. My intention has always been and always will be to basically make my apps available for free, so that everybody, whether it be students, residents, attendings, or even just the general public who want access to that information, to have it available for free.
Great. And if people are curious, what are the names of the two apps that are currently available?
So the first app, the prenatal care app, is called Alethea, and it's named after the Greek goddess of childbirth. And the antidepressant app is named Le Allegro, and that's named after an old John Milton poem on the happy man.
Okay, great. And so one last question. Do you have any advice for medical students, especially students at Stanford, who may be interested in primary care or family medicine?
Yeah. I often give advice to students who are at Stanford and other institutions that basically have a hidden curriculum at their institutions that really discourage them from pursuing family medicine or another primary care field. And the thing that I always tell them is that if their heart is in primary care, if what they want to do is to provide care to everybody, then they should just do it. And they should ignore the discouraging remarks that they'll hear sometimes from their professors and from their advisors, and just follow their heart, because the world needs more primary care providers and really intelligent, bright, motivated family physicians, and we need more people like them.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to speak with us, Dr. Lin.
My pleasure.
Have a good one. Thank you for listening to this edition of the FM Revolution podcast. We hope to see all the student resident listeners at the Family Medicine Summit on Saturday, November 1st in Los Angeles.